In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, we are winding down the summer, and we're getting ready for the church new year. The world is January 1st, and the ancient church, September 1st, is the ecclesiastical new year. So every new beginning, it behooves us to really look over our life and to ask ourselves what's gone wrong, and to ask ourselves what, by the grace of God, is going well and what can improve, and how we can draw closer to Christ and to each other if we're being aware of ourselves. Today's gospel reading is a beautiful one, pretty well known, of the Lord healing the paralytic. It's a very well known one in the Orthodox Church for obvious reasons, which we'll discuss. So a man comes up and he kneels before Jesus. Jesus, of course, had given power to his disciples to heal as well. So it's important to know that Jesus healed, and he allowed his sinful disciples, by the grace of God, to also heal. But it didn't always work. And that's what's happening here. The disciples have worked many miracles, and now they come against something that they cannot heal, and they don't know what to do. So the man says, "Have mercy on my son." He's an epileptic, right? Having epilepsy. Some of the fathers say that this man both had a demonic possession. You know, people often think, oh, the church was so kind of dumb back then, didn't know about, you know, modern scientific epilepsy. Of course it did. People knew about that. And so it also knew that sickness comes from sin sometimes. Remember when the Lord says, go and sin no more, meaning that person's physical sickness came from their spiritual sin. Then the man born blind, they asked, was it this man's sin or his parents who was born blind? Neither. But rather the glory of God could be shown forth. So you see, it's never clear why exactly someone's sick. But we know one of the main reasons for physical sickness and ailments is spiritual sickness. So of course the church knew about epilepsy, knew what kind of sickness it was. It could be caused by natural things. It could be caused by demonic reasons as well. And this poor dad comes up and he says, I'm so sad. I want to help my son. And he goes into the water. Imagine that. The son, he's so crazed when he's in a fit, throws himself into the fire, burning himself, throws himself into the water. Imagine these parents, people around him, they're terrified. And then he says, I have brought him to your disciples, and they couldn't heal him. And so that's scary because they've seen lots of healings by the disciples. Now they don't see it. And then Jesus answers, not in a buddy Jesus kind of way, in a very stern but very loving way. The Lord loves us so much, and sometimes we're happy to listen to the words of Jesus or the words of the priest or the words of our spouse if they're nice and flattering. Like if they're like, you're a great person, don't worry about it, I love you no matter what. We all like those words. Those are true. A spouse should love us no matter what. Christ loves us no matter what. But sometimes we need that. We don't grow very much from that. That can be a justification for staying right where you are. And the Lord doesn't always speak that way, does he? When he comes to the temple, in another account, and they've turned the Jewish temple of God into a place of business, money-making, he doesn't say, well, gosh darn it, you guys are such swell people, and I love you so much, and I'm sure life is so hard for you at home. I'm sure you need this cash. Just, could you try not to sell so much in the temple? No. He didn't do it that way. He made a cord, a whip, and he whipped them out and dumped over their tables and thundered and said, how dare you make my father's house into a place of business? So we need rebukes like this sometimes. The Lord is very gentle and meek, but also it gives us a strong nudge when we need it in the spiritual life, for sure. So today he says to this man and to the disciples and everyone gathered around and to us. Because by the way, the Holy Fathers say, who is the epileptic? Us. Humankind, fallen man, all of us are the epileptic. We're sick. Throws us in the fire and the water. What does that symbolize? The fire of lust and passions drowning in the water of our laziness. The fathers speak tomes about what this symbolizes. But we are the epileptic person, our soul. And the fire and the water is all of our sinfulness and the ways that we're drowning and being burned up in this world when we're not close to Christ, when the world is killing us. And perhaps maybe you come to the church and say, hey, I came to church. Hey, I lit a candle. Hey, I tricked the boxes up. I'm not better. That's the equivalent of the disciples, of them coming to the early disciples. And now they come to the Lord himself. And listen to what he says. And he's speaking to us. He says, oh, faithless and perverse generation, How long am I to be with you? How long can I bear you? Bring him here to me. He calls them out. He says, this is not faith. He's speaking to who? To the disciples. Those who had healed, raised the dead, done miracles, saying, even they could be faithless. And guess what? That gives me heart. They could raise the dead and heal sickness, and even they could lose heart and be faithless sometimes. So we often think, oh, I'm not faithless, I believe. And we have very weak faith and won't acknowledge it, and it's what's killing us. And of course they bring the paralytic to Jesus, epileptic, and what happens? He rebukes him, it says, which means, and the demon came out of him. So in this case, there was a demonic possession. And it drove him out, and the boy was cured instantly. There's nothing the Lord Jesus Christ cannot cure instantly. Do you know that? Do you know every malady of soul and body can be healed in the church? Yes, we believe in doctors, multi-pronged attack approach, absolutely. But you read about St. Paisios, his spiritual father, St. Arsenios, who baptized him. In the village, there was no doctor. There was no nothing. There was the priest who prayed, and for every ailment, he had a verse in the Psalms. If the crops wouldn't grow, he blessed it and they would grow. If someone was sick, it was an amazing total faith and belief in the life of Christ. Now, we bless doctors. We use various means. But those who truly love Christ, we trust that. I believe this, by the way. I've been sick the past week or two. Michael, please. I've been sick the past couple weeks. My wife is home throwing up, having contractions. My oldest girls are throwing up. Nina's throwing up. Puntalimon has pneumonia. It's like something good must be coming. That's the Orthodox approach. Something good must be coming from these struggles. The Lord allows these struggles for all of us. That we're racked by our sins. Things are going poorly. And we often say, where is God? Why isn't God making this life nice? I'm a priest. Come on, things should be good. I go to church. I shouldn't have any problems. That's not true. That's a worldly way of thinking. That's going to set you up to be depressed and to be down and think, hey, I checked the boxes off. Why isn't my life perfect? Because that's not what the Christian life was about. And in fact, it would be terrible if the Lord allowed you to have a perfect life. Do you know that? I once went to a great elder and I said, why does it seem like there's some people who are total jerks? They don't go to church. They take advantage of people and they seem like they have no problems in life. No problems. And they just have great health. And the elder began to weep. He wept. And he said, those are the people to be most pitied. He called them, in Greek, I translate, the cruisers. They cruise through life. I said, what do you mean? I said, I know plenty of people in the church who are like the most pious, the most loving. And they have the worst health and the worst financial circumstances. What's going on? They are the most to be blessed. Because those people, the cruisers, he said, it looks good. He says, first of all, no one's cruising. It's a lie from the outside. There's always internal strife. But the cruisers cruise through life until the end, and they hit a brick wall, and life comes crumbling down, and they're facing eternal life, and they're totally unready, and they wasted their life in selfishness and vanity, and they're not ready. And the Lord blesses those who have suffered. I think of my mom as a good example of a person who was very, very, very long-suffering and went through hell in her life, and I felt bad for her a lot. But at the end of her life, I didn't feel bad. I glorified God that God allowed her to go through that pain and gave her faith to bear it. It made her into a saintly person. And I remember that when I'm struggling and when all of you are struggling, remember that the Lord loves you. But we have no faith sometimes. We expect the world, the church, to work like the world. It doesn't work that way. It works by faith. It's so different than this fallen rationale. So we come to the church as our mother. Right? God is our father. The church is our mother. And do you really believe that life in this church can change your life? I don't mean just make you a better person. Certainly can do that. But do you believe that your physical sicknesses can be healed if you come to confession? Yes. It happens all the time. In addition to following your doctor. But even when doctors have told us it's hopeless. Doctors told Jeremy and Heather, have no more children. Right? Don't have more children. Because they're going to be... Doctors always say this kind of stuff. Right? Sometimes they mean well. Sometimes they're very worldly. And you ask them, imagine their lives without any of their kids. Imagine their lives without your kids. Imagine my life if my mom hadn't wanted me. Do you know, my dad didn't want me. My parents just met quickly. It was a fling. And my mom told my dad, 6 months and one day. She was 6 months and one day pregnant. That was the law in North Carolina at the time when she couldn't have an abortion. And my dad was furious because he was not a Christian. He was so angry. And you know what now? But he's not a Christian yet. Pray for him. His name is Lawrence. But I'll tell you this. You won't find someone more pro-life than him. He said, that would have been the biggest mistake of my life to not have you in my life and not have my subsequent sisters and everything later. So you see that life is a great gift and it takes faith to go forward. I was so proud of Jeremy and Heather when the world mocked them. Even some Orthodox Christians, forgive me, gave them a hard time. I know what some of you thought. Gosh, can they handle all that? Do you have faith or not? Because if you start operating by worldly thinking as an Orthodox Christian all the time, you'll be a mess. Nothing will make sense. The car accident you got in doesn't make sense. It's not fair, right? It's not fair the person gets sick. It's not fair that someone died. It's not fair that we buried an 8-year-old, a friend of mine, a priest back east yesterday. It's not fair. But life is not about being fair. Life is about believing and trusting no matter what happens. God is going to take care of us. And the Lord calls all of us out today. And He says, you faithless generation. Right? And then He turns to the apostles. He says, and they say, why couldn't we cast the demon out? What's going on? We had power, I'm powerless. And He says, because, He didn't say because you have too little faith. His exact words in Greek, because you have no faith. And He's addressing that to us. I've been reading about Elder Emilianos, wrote this beautiful book called, it's called the Mystical Marriage. It's about St. Maximus the Confessor. And you know, I think Father Paul read it and had a heart attack a few months early in the year because the book hits you right in the heart. And the elder says, we don't love God. We act like we do. We say we love God. Oh, I love Jesus so much love for Jesus. I love God so much, blah, blah, blah. No, we don't. Because the Lord says, if you love me, what do? What does it say? I'm not a participatory, humbly kind of guy, but, right? If you love me, keep my commandments. And we fail miserably this, don't we? And He says, if you love God, prayer is easy. Prayer is your lifeblood. Undistracted prayer shows that you love God. And I had to weep through that this week, reading it and saying, I'm distracted a lot, even though I try. And that shows me I don't love God. It doesn't depress me, though. It inspires me. Because I think we tell ourselves, yeah, I love God. Come on. I think it's like a husband saying, when he feels like the twinge of conscience, gosh, I should really do more for my wife. I should really love her more than myself. I should really do more. And then in the back of our mind, the devil tempts us, yeah, but I love her. Come on, she knows I love her. You know I love you, baby. Right? Talk is cheap. Do it. And then when you do it, your marriage is renewed. It's the same in the life of God. We often comfort in a kind of demonic way. Like, I go to church. I'm an Orthodox Christian. I believe. Come on. Compared to the other people, you see, we compare ourselves to worldly, fallen people who might have more faith than you do. You just don't know it. And that's how we let ourselves grow complacent. That can ruin a marriage. It can ruin the mystical marriage between your heart and the living God, which will be the marriage that will last forever into eternity. It's the most important relationship to nourish. So the Lord tells us today we have no faith. And let that make us weep a bit. But we're made for it, brothers and sisters. We're made for it. Elder Emilianos says, it's hard to walk on your hands. Well, it's becoming popular nowadays. And like, I've seen people do that, like workout programs. Everyone's doing handstands. But in general, it's hard to walk on your hands. Why? Because you weren't made to walk on your hands. You're made to walk on your feet. God made your feet to walk. Even if in our fallenness, they're pretty good unless we're disabled for walking. And you know what your heart was made for? And your mind and your whole life? Was made to pray. You are made to love God and the Mother of God and the saints. You are made that way. It's in your DNA. Even though we are fallen, we are made to worship God and to pray and to love Him. And even in our fallenness, that's our norm. Living a worldly life, it seems like that's normal walking. No, that's walking on your hands, difficult. When you start to live the life in Christ with faith, with a boldness, a bravery, saying, God, my faith is weak, but I want to believe. And you throw yourself into the abyss of God's love, He always blesses it. Every time. But many of us hold back and wait. Hey, God, show me something. Then I'll believe. Show me something. We wait. He's right there waiting for us. A leap of faith. Father, you're talking about blind faith? Is there any other kind of faith? It's blind at the beginning, only at the beginning. Once you throw yourself into this life and say, God, I'm scared. I don't know if I trust you, but I'm going to give my whole life. We say it so many times in the liturgy. Let me commend ourselves and each other and all our life. That means work, health, everything, all those worries here, with him, with each other. The liturgy is the main surgery. I'm going to put it all there, and we don't, do we? Part of our hearts are in the liturgy. Imagine putting everything, your work troubles, how you feel about your mom, the struggle with your friend, your marriage problems, your parents, everything. Pull that all in your heart and lay it at the throne of God during the divine liturgy. Then when the priest says, thine own of thine own, we offer unto you in behalf of all and for all of your worries are heaped on that disc. All of your concerns, all of your life is in this church, in Christ, and it's being raised to God, and he transfigures it. Do the bread and the wine turn into the body and blood of Christ? But it says, send down your Holy Spirit upon us, and upon these gifts here spread forth. So we're being transformed just as the gifts are being transformed. And the degree to which your whole heart is in this in faith is the degree to which you will find true happiness. Not a perfect life and no problems, but true happiness. What is happiness? It's to trust no matter what that God is taking care of us. And you know what? If we have faithful hearts and thankful hearts, we'll see the Lord is always taking care of us. I told the disciples, nothing is impossible, is the next thing he says. With me, nothing is impossible. What do you think in worldly terms? Oh, that person will never become a Christian. How dare you say that? We stand here, right? I'll never get out of debt. How dare you say that? God is the worker of wonders, right? I'll never get a job. Stop being Eeyore, right? In your faith, believe. Doesn't make sense, but doesn't seem probable, Father. A lot of things don't seem probable. The fact that I'm a priest was never probable to me. The fact that you're here, was it probable to you a long time ago? The fact that I have, soon to be tomorrow, I'll have 9 children? It's impossible to me. Only by the grace of God, it makes your faith grow that in spite of our idiocy, we try. And we say, God, I want to believe. I believe, O Lord, help my unbelief. And what aids our faith? It's like a 3 kind of pronged thing given to us in the gospel today to follow. First, we're paralyzed, and the Lord calls us to faith. What aids faith? How do we get faith going? He says, these kind of demons, the reason you couldn't cast them out, disciples, your faith is weak because you're lacking what? Prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting, as the Orthodox Church sees it, has been abandoned outside of the Orthodox Church. Really. There's hardly any fasting left in Christianity outside of Orthodoxy. And God forbid we abandon this great weapon. Think about it. The Lord is saying, your depression, your sadness, your sinfulness, your passions can be healed because God makes it possible. First thing, you've got to believe that. If you don't believe it, if you don't believe the doctor can help you, you're not going to take his medicine. Believe it with all your heart. Forget the world. Forget worldly people. Forget music. Believe that God can make you holy. He can heal you, body and soul. He can make you to love prayer. You who hate praying, maybe, or find it boring. And all, he can all the saints, he can change you. Believe it. Throw yourself into this life in the church. I don't know how to confess. I don't know how to pray. That's why the priests are here to help you. We will. We've been there. We know what it's like. And then, when you're struggling with that, how do you aid that? Prayer and fasting. I don't know how to pray, Father. No worries. None of us know how to pray, St. Paul says, unless the Holy Spirit prays within us. You learn to pray from other people that learn how to pray. Right? Learn from the priest. Father, how do I begin to pray? Here's a prayer book. Here's an icon. Start praying. Start saying the Jesus prayer. We know how to help you with this. And it's a struggle for all of us, but it's beautiful. Because guess what you find out? You were made for prayer. I used to teach people how to drive. I was a decent driver when I was in my college, and I helped people drive. And someone who was terrible, when they got it, they would often say, I feel like I always knew how to do this. It's like riding a bike, we say, right? It's innate in us. Prayer and talking to God and being with him all the time, we're made for that. But the world tells us we're made for eyes down, passions, eat, drink, lust, everything. That's not true. It's a lie. And that's why when we do that kind of life, we're not happy. But when we live a life in God and we're prayerful, even if junk's falling apart all around us, we're happy because that's the supernatural, the truly natural way you're made to live. So start praying. Throw yourself in faith and start praying. You don't know how? Join the club. We're all learning to pray together. You pray, first of all, in the church, in this service. We can't do it alone. On Sundays, Saturday night, we should be here for the services. Praying with our family in front of our icons. Praying all the time. Being in God's presence all the time is so beautiful. and then fasting, which none of us are good at. We live in a world that just loves to consume, 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 and fasting looks boring. It looks like it's an absence. I thought Christian life was about abundance. That was about joy and full joy. There's a joy, do you know, from being hungry and being filled with prayer. There's a joy from having your lunch and so hungry about to eat it, and you give it to a homeless man. You say, God, I'm taking a leap of faith. I want to eat that, but I trust that you're going to fill me, because man doesn't live by bread alone. I'm going to challenge God. I'm going to test the promise of God, and you'll never be led astray. So we pray and fast, and that makes our faith grow. And what's the final? What truly gives our faith real wings? The last thing the Lord says in the gospel today. He says, the Son of Man will be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, but he will rise on the third day. And the resurrection of Jesus is everything. In his resurrection, his death on the cross, he destroys everything that's killing us. Our depression, our sadness, our fear of death, our lust, our pride, our anger, our worldliness, our attachment to worldly things, our worries and anxiety, which we all carry so much, our lack of faith. He takes it, and he dies on the cross. He goes to the pits of hell, and then he rises from the dead. You know what happens for us Orthodox Christians? We become part of that. How? In our baptism. We die with Christ, all of our sins die, and then we're resurrected with him, and that resurrection becomes ours. And that's how sinful people like us can have joy in the midst of sorrow. That's how the saints, all these saints on the walls, went from being very worldly like many of us to becoming saints. They believed. It was said during the worst persecution in Russia, when they were killing 90% of the priests and the bishops, crucifying them on the holy doors, they were torturing them, everything, all to the gulag. The great word of one of the great pastors who was killed for his faith, his name was Saint Kirill of Kazan. He said, we need more faith. And St. Benjamin's in this too. But we pastors and faithful, we need more simple faith. It's not that hard, brothers and sisters. It's a matter of will. Do you want to believe? Then don't let the stupid world and modern godless science take your faith from you. Shove that out of the way and read the gospel. Right? I don't want... If you're waiting for it to be natural, no. What's natural is eating too much, judging people, being lazy, being afraid of dying, numbing it with the world, being selfish. That's natural. It doesn't take work. We all know that. But you know what? Don't believe the lie. You weren't made to live that way. You were made in the image of God, in the likeness of God, to walk with him, to talk with him like he's so close. God isn't miles away like we think before. We think God is so far. He's not even there. To think Adam and Eve, they walked with him. He was that close. Guess what? As a Christian, he's closer than that. He's not just a handhold away. He's in the very center of your being. The kingdom of heaven is within you. How do we realize that? We have to stop being so darn worldly. Stop thinking that, you know, I've been to a lot of doctors this week with my kids and myself. They're lovely. They have limited power. God has all the power. When we put ourselves reading the gospel every day, we can bear these pains. Reading the lives of the modern saints and modern elders, so important to know you're not alone. Being at church, keeping the fast of the church, listening to the church music, throw yourself into this life. And here's the deal. If you throw yourself partially into it, it's miserable. Because it causes this deep tension. And the world's yanking on you. And then maybe if you're lucky, Christ is yanking on you. And you feel torn apart. That's what the Lord says all your life. He's a jealous God. He wants all of your heart. And that's fearful. We think, am I going to become a weirdo? Have I become serious about my faith? What's the world going to think of me? What's my boss going to think? What my friend? You know what? They'll want to be like you. They'll want the paradise and eternity that's being born in you. They'll want it more than everything. Doesn't take a special pedigree, brothers and sisters. You don't have to be Greek or Russian or any of us. That's why our church is so beautiful. Any person at any time can walk in the church, tell God, I'm broken, I'm epileptic, but I want to believe. All it takes is to come in this church and to cry a little bit and say, I want this. But that's not enough. So a lot of candle. Oh, I confess, everything's great. No, you'll be miserable still. That's the beginning of the process of saying, if you're not baptized, become a catechumen and be baptized. If you are baptized, but you haven't been to confession for a long time, that confession renews your baptism. That's the way to get your faith back. Confession. And the biggest thing, just turn your heart to God. At every moment, try to walk in his presence. Remember that he loves you. Jesus is seeking us a lot more than we're seeking him. That's what the Psalms are all about. You know what the Father said about the Psalms? Just, you know, it's about, you think it's about King David seeking God. The fathers say it's a story, a love story, of a lover who's chasing after his beloved and even exhausts himself. Jesus exhausts himself chasing after. He'll stop at nothing. And we should realize that. St. Augustine said, "My heart finds no rest until it finds rest in thee." We try as we might in other things, and we're heartbroken. The true path to having our hearts healed, brothers and sisters, the true path to trusting God and being able to endure suffering, which we all bear, the true path to joy is nothing other than the living God, Jesus Christ, who is one with his church, which we enter in baptism, which we live together. We're dragging each other to paradise. May the Lord help us to awake. Let's have renewed faith. How do I do that? There's nothing to do. It's not complicated. Turn to God and say, "I want to be a Christian. Forgive me." Start confessing. Open your heart. Be honest. And live the life that the church asks us. Pray. Fast. Give alms. Love. And you don't know how? You have spiritual coaches here, the priests. You feel weak? Prayer and fasting will prop you up against this world. And when you feel really weak, the answer that nothing can overcome, Christ is risen. The resurrected Christ. God has destroyed death and made it totally natural. Not to walk on our hands in sin, but to walk on our God-given feet of our hearts. Feet that are made to walk with Christ. We're made to think of him all the time, brothers and sisters. We're made to think of Christ, to have him close to us, to realize he's with us. The Mother of God is so close. That's why these saints could walk through terrible torture and have their arm ripped off, because they weren't alone. And we're not alone either, brothers and sisters. Let us wake up to the great gift of Christ. Let's wake up to our true nature, what we're made to be. Let's begin this, not alone, in our families, in our spiritual family, in this beautiful community, for the grace of God. God help us, that he may heal us of our epilepsy, out of the fire and water of our sins, and take us to the bright waters of health in God's church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.